not ready for prime time.
Prime time.
Prime time.
Prime time. That's the name.
Prime time.
Prime time.
What time is it? Showtime prime time.
It's XL Prime Time featuring Joe C.
I reduced my toilet paper down to 3 squares.
Matt Hayes.
Big asses and big thighs. Yeah.
And Leon Searcy.
Bringing you love, peace, and soul.
How you like me now? How you like me now?
Friday, a little big hair, heavy metal. We are ready to rock and roll this afternoon, that's for sure. We're getting into plenty of things today, but, you know, we can't help but want to begin with the goings-on at Augusta because this is what I do. You know, I'm a golfer, so I'm paying attention all the time. My favorite stretch of the year is the Players to the FedEx Cup because you can go from March to August and you will have championship golf, championship settings every single month from the Players on. So it's always a fun time of the year. And you say out there, hey, it ain't football season. Well, I get it, but there's so much else going on. And so this is when I try and lasso Leon and Maddie and RJ. I'm like, okay, you guys got to watch this. Now, they didn't finish the first round yesterday, so they had to come back early today. So that was actually a little extra treat for a lot of fans just to be able to tune in this morning and see Tiger go back out there. And it's a battle. You watched him all the way up until the turn today. Is that right?
Yeah. When I left the house and came over here, he was like plus one.
Yeah.
And he was plus one when we checked the last time. Yeah. You know, he had – listen, he had a card – he had some zeros and squares going along his card when I checked it out. A lot of bogeys, a couple of birdies here and there, but whatever. But that win is something else, bro.
And we've had it down here. Yeah. But it is like whistling through those big Georgia ponds.
100 golfers, right?
90.
90, okay. Mm-hmm.
Really, I think it might even be 89. That's why I call it the easiest major to win.
10 right now are at 2-under or better. Mm-hmm. The rest are at 1 or worse. 1-under or worse. And there's a lot of on the red side, if you know what I mean, on that top 90.
Well, red's good if you're in red figures in the game of golf. Okay.
Or green, I should say then. Yeah, green.
No, honestly, red figures means you beat par. Okay, so when you're we got to get the lingo right.
Right.
When
so green in, then, right?
Yeah. When you're in the red in golf on the leaderboard, that's a good thing. When you're in the red in business, that's a bad thing.
I'm staring at the leaderboard, and then reds are not good. So so green is not good, is what you're telling me.
Yeah. Well,
the official tour lingo.
Well, I'm just telling you, in the red, if you shoot a red figure round, you're beating par. All right. All I'm saying. And Augusta has a different way of doing almost everything. They even take the word leaderboard and split it up. And then they have the prior to the left of their leaderboard.
What do you mean leaderboard?
Leaderboard. Everyone else spells it all one word.
The way the English language spells it, one word?
Augusta separates it. They've just got their own way.
Leader hyphen board? Or just,
no,
leader,
just leader
space board?
Board. It's just how they roll. And they call it the first nine, the second nine. They've got all their own language. You're not allowed to talk about the fans. Those are the patrons. Mm. So they've got all sorts of different
they differentiate things. Themselves from all the other tours. I understand.
You better believe it, man.
Nah, I'm just saying.
They're a little snobby.
Yeah, well, dude.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that.
It's
working. Yeah, it's working. There's plenty of hoity-toity out there that doesn't work. This one's working, that's for sure. But I tell you what, the first day, everything that we were treated to was just awesome, and now you're trying to figure out which one of these guys is going to be able to stay at the top. We're going to see whether or not Bryson DeChambeau, who was fighting back or posted the early score and then lost the lead, now fighting back. And so there's all sorts of good stuff going
on. I can tell you one guy that's not happy that had a good round yesterday, Scottie Scheffler.
Yeah.
He had a great round.
He did.
Absolutely.
And I tell you what, he went out with a clean card, did not mess himself up, never really puts himself in a bad spot. That's the thing that you absolutely –
Did he go bogey-free?
Yeah.
I thought he went bogey-free, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, and so that's what you got to love about the way he plays the game is he never really it doesn't look like he's playing conservatively, but he is playing smartly.
Yeah, well, listen, I know that I didn't mishear what I heard this morning when I was watching the Masters or whatever, and some odds guy came on that was talking about who was the betting odds or whatever, and your guy, Bryson DeChambeau, was leading by one stroke. Mm-hmm. But Vegas had Scheffler, the odds on favorites, even though he was one stroke behind him. I was like, how does that happen?
Well,
how does that happen that this guy is one stroke behind the leader and he's still favored to win the match?
I still think they probably look at his – either consistency or performance level there, mm-hmm. and they've seen DeChambeau blow up a time or two.
Right. Yeah.
And so that's why they're not willing to give him that top spot.
It's more about DeChambeau's ability to implode.
What they were saying is that because Scheffler was only one stroke behind, and they said that Scheffler had a stroke and a half. He was a stroke and a half favorite over DeChambeau, even though he was in the lead by one stroke. I said, that is some gangster stuff right there. That's gangster.
Well, you can definitely keep an eye on it here as we'll go along with our leaderboard updates throughout the afternoon, that's for sure. But honestly, it's just such a great time to be able to see it. The weather after yesterday, getting through that 2.5 hour weather delay, wind is still kicking, but the rain's gone. Everything looks pristine, gorgeous, beautiful. You saw a few guys with some really tough spots, but then a lot of them have been just throwing darts at those pins in the first round. It'll get a little tougher.
What's our combined score, by the way, in our little bet?
I don't know. You're keeping track.
Well, I'm keeping track of mine as well. As of this morning, all right, I had John Rahm and Dustin Leonard.
Right.
Dustin Johnson. All right, Dustin Johnson, all right? So when I looked up this morning, Dustin Johnson was +6, and John Rahm was coming in at +1. So I'm +7 right now. I mean, I don't know how that fares stacks up against you guys. Mm-hmm. Don't be no pencil whipping now. I remember the guys you picked.
I got Vic Hovland, and he's 1 under, mm-hmm. and I took Zach Johnson, who's 4 over.
Which is at least you took a guy that was that has worn the
board,
green jacket
right.
before.
Well, off the board, really, because we were talking about off the board.
Yeah.
So I'm at +3. You are where? You took Shoffley and who?
I took Shoffley and Hobert.
Hobert, right.
Right now, I got to look at it to actually be sure because I'm keeping an eye on the top.
Zander's even.
All I know is I told you that I was in the pimento cheese pool, and you get 6, and you get to toss 2. And so Zander was one of my selections. Just so happened that Zander and Oberg were in the same pile, so I couldn't take both of those at the same time. But I am not sitting in a good spot right now. I can just tell you that.
Well, you're sitting a little better than me. Right now, I'm taking all the tailwind. I'm +7.
Where's Oberg? Where is he? Do you know?
I'll look here and find him in just 1 second. Again, the leaderboard,
he's even.
Not ideal for me, okay? But Oberg was
– You're fine. You're even. You're leading us.
Yeah. I'm in great shape now.
I'm 3 over. He's 7 over.
Yeah. And Shoffley right now is – see, this is the other thing. Whenever you see the leaderboard, if you go to themasters.com, it's got 0 on it. And so you're like, well, that sounds kind of negative. But that's even. That's just flat.
It's just the way they do it.
Next to Shoffley. And so right now he's at the
By the way,
least,
Bigley – vegetables with that protein you bring in, all right?
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Some kind of vegetable.
Well, right now, I mean, I was looking forward to the pork butt because you were going to you lose it, but now you're in second place.
So and, now and Matt, listen, Matt was so worried yesterday he wasn't going to win. He started talking about that
he
pork
was,
butt.
He was, absolutely. I told him I would bring the
I
sides.
I said I would just smoke a pork butt and bring it in. That's a lot easier.
But here's what he brought today. You go to YouTube and you can see this. He brought us a nice little Tupperware
looks good.
Of a smoked thigh, which you put on – You put it on the Weber. Yeah.
On the Weber for like 3 hours, man.
Yeah.
Low and slow.
And I do plan on pulling a bunch of stuff either out of the freezer or out of the produce section and throwing it on for Sunday at Augusta. All right. So you guys hit the text line, 641-1010. If you are tuning in, if you have watched what's been going on up at Augusta, you got to feel for what any of these guys are going to do. Jordan Spieth is just fighting like heck. I mean, this guy is just struggling mightily. And up-down is the kind of first couple of days that he's had. Brooks Koepka, who really went on a tear as soon as he got there a year ago, is also kind of flatlining, sitting right there at level par. So we'll have an eye on a handful of these guys and just kind of get an idea. Will Zalatoris playing well, especially after this time a year ago, was when he had to basically withdraw and go get surgery on his back because of disc problems. But he's hanging in there and playing well, and you got a handful of other ones. That
Max Homa.
Keeping our eye on. Max Homa's at the top.
Playing really well.
And actually, DeChambeau went back to the top, I should say. DeChambeau picked up a birdie at 7, and so he's back to 7 under par. And Homa is right there at 6 under. Scheffler hasn't – actually, Scheffler has gone through the opening hole with a par, and he's sitting at 6 under. So those two guys are a shot back. Max Homa's very capable of winning a major. He's won at difficult golf courses. Quail Hollow, Riviera are two that come to mind. And so he has the game to do it. We'll see if he can hold up. He hasn't played particularly well at Augusta or at all the majors in his career, but definitely good enough. And you're always looking for that guy that just seems to reach that level of understanding, shot making, all that stuff, and it just all comes together. And we'll see whether or not that's the case for him.
So let's not bury the lead here today, all right? Because Scheffler has decided that if his wife goes into labor, he's leaving.
If you're in the lead, all right, we were going to do an ex-poll question that had to do with the draft, but I do think this is a good one to get into.
He's out.
Yeah.
He's out.
If you're in the lead Sunday at Augusta, and make sure, RJ, it says Sunday at Augusta, and your wife goes into labor, and you get word,
bro,
you just hand the club to your caddy, and you walk off the golf course.
Not even a question.
Would you or wouldn't you?
Which child is this?
Who cares? It could be child 10.
I'm just asking the question.
You're saying you'd walk off?
Absolutely, yes.
Oh, I'd look at TLD and I'd say, hey, baby, I love you. I'll be there in a little bit.
But depends on what number it is. If it's the first, yeah, absolutely, I'm gone. The second, maybe. Third,
I'm not sure. Realize what that could lead to?
What?
Do you guys realize what that could lead to?
You know what that is?
I'll just tell you this.
Okay, that's going in the fourth quarter of the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Your wife going to labor, then you're going, you know, you're Patrick Mahomes, you're like, I'm out of here. And you got the lead in the Super Bowl. That's you?
I got to go.
What'd you do? Yeah. You got to go.
Baby, I got to go. Hey,
you got to stop.
I'll just tell you this right now. I ain't leaving. Okay?
No way you're leaving. Absolutely
not. And I'll say, hey, TLD, the lovely Diane, look, baby, I love you. I hear it's cold in the hospital, so I'm going to make sure I have a green jacket when I show up. Okay? That's what I would be doing. I'll just tell you a quick story.
She wouldn't remember that at all. Like, she would not remember that for the rest of her life at all.
It's going to lead me to a quick story because this is the legend. And in some ways, it's not a good legend of Joe C. You could be infamous or famous. So, young Hyla, my beautiful daughter, you got Annie, Michael, Hyla. And Hyla, I just adore. And it's about time for her to be born. And this directly coincides with me getting a job in sports radio under Frank Franch. The day she was born, I went and interviewed with Frank Franchi, October 30th, 1996. She was born. We have the baby. Kiss her, hold her, hug her. Hey, hon, I'll see you later. I got to go for a job interview. Born at St. Vincent's. I go to a sports bar over at the beach where Franch is doing a show. Interview, come back, and she's there. TLD had to have the C-section, so we were there for a couple of days. Just so happens I'm working the Gator Network. It's the Florida-Georgia game. I go to the Florida-Georgia game, and I say, hey, I'll leave at the half because I produced the pregame show. I'll leave at the half. It was a great game. You can go back and see. It was a great game. And I'm like, I got to leave. And I kept stalling, kept watching the game. Took me a little bit of time to get out. By the time I got back to St. Vincent's over on Riverside, her best friend Julie and her in a wheelchair were out front. And, boy, have I not lived that down
ever
yet.
Right. Ever.
I've not lived it down. But at the same time, Hyla's pretty happy that I got a job the same day she was born.
Right, but it's a little different when your child's already been born, then you got to go to
him. Yeah, but still.
Matt, how many yards did Freddie T have?
You're probably right.
You remember. Yeah. You remember. Yeah. Come
right,
on.
You know TLD listens, right? Why would you do that? You got to put him in worse now.
I know. No,
all I know is that it was an important moment for all of us. And so – And Hyla always gives me a rough time for that one. But hey.
Well, that look on your face when you said, I still hear about it.
All right, so X-Pole.
Tells me that, you still hear about
it. So X-Pole question, you're leading on the back nine at Augusta on Sunday and a chance to win the Masters when your wife goes into labor. Are you walking off the golf course or not? All right, RJ, you can put that bad boy together. We'll put it out on X. You've got to let us know. You can hit the text line designed by Lifetime Enclosures at 641-1010. You can definitely chime in there and let us know what you would do.
To be fair, the 509 on the text line kind of encapsulates the entire process.
Yeah.
No freaking way I'm walking off the course, but that could be why I'm divorced.
Exactly. Yeah.
Is it in a nutshell right
part,
there.
Yeah.
Yeah. If I still had a wife, you can answer it any way you want. But go ahead and give us some good answers. We would love it as we rock and roll on a Friday. We've got big hair, heavy metal, but your rock and roll suggestions can cover any genre. We welcome it. 641-1010. You got RJ, the DJ, that will definitely take some of those requests, and we'll try and crank them back out when we come back from break. Now, we've got the Masters. We're going to get into what Leon describes as a three-piece combo. Okay, explain what a three-piece combo is.
Well, a three-piece, you know, chicken dinner. You go to any fine chicken establishment.
I love that how you said that, fine chicken establishment.
You don't walk out of there without three pieces.
Yeah.
And I'm coinciding that with the Jaguars.
Yeah.
These first three picks, 17, 48, and what, 96?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
What combination of player you would like when it's all said and done, and those three picks, what combination? It could be DB, wide receiver, lineman, or defensive lineman, offensive lineman, DB, whatever. What would make you feel
good?
And
that's Friday night. You get to Friday night with a three-piece combo.
Yeah. So I have a quick question.
Yeah.
On the Jaguars staff, which one of them is tight lady? Mm-hmm.
On the Jaguars staff, which one is tight lady?
Because tight lady is where you get your chicken
that's
from.
That's where I am, the tight lady.
Which
one
of those guys in the Jaguars staff is tight lady?
I don't know. Listen.
Is it Trent?
No, I don't think so.
No, you couldn't tell Trent
don't give
you
nothing.
He's going to get it for you.
Yeah, you can't get. I don't know. You know, they first of all.
They might need a tight lady.
The tight lady is, you got to understand, the tight lady is like, she's like something golden, something that you treasure.
Oh, yeah.
So
right.
I don't give that name away begrudgingly. I begrudgingly give away that name to anybody. So they've got to show me a little bit more before I give them the tight lady now.
All right, we got plenty of responses, 641-1010. We will put it on X as well so you guys can offer it up as far as what you would do if you were leading. First kid, one of our texters says, and I'm out. Anything else, I'm getting a green jacket. And then another one, what's the payday up at Augusta? Yeah, no freaking way I'm walking off that golf course. So we'll get into a handful of them. Let us know what you would do, 641-1010, or go to at 1010XL on X and offer up your suggestion. It's XL Primetime.
Cruising with XL Primetime in the First Coast Honda Dealer Studios on 1010XL. It's a big hair, heavy metal Friday on XL Primetime.
This is Trent Baalke. I've been called a lot of things in my day, especially recently, but never the tight lady. I'll wear it with a badge of honor. Go Jags.
Attaboy, Trent. He is willing to serve up some chicken and go with that nickname, that moniker, tight lady. Attaboy, Trent. Man of many, many talents. That's for sure. All right, that's our guy on Pop-Off. Anytime you want to dial up the Pop-Off line, 207-7071, especially if you do want to fire off a funny call. We appreciate that, for sure. The funny responses that we've gotten on the text line, mm-hmm. I don't know if you could call in and put those out, you know, as far as the tape recording goes, because it would live in infamy. But, yeah, there are plenty of them that are coming off the text line as to whether or not you would walk off the golf course if you're on the back nine on Sunday in a position to win a green jacket and your wife goes into labor. From Westside Belvis, I'm with Big Sirs. If it's the first one, you probably got to go. Second or third, they got to wait till I get that jacket. There are plenty of other ones, that's for sure. My wife would tell me to stay and win that big bag. Win pays the bills. I am a woman, says one of them off the text line, and I don't think he should leave that course. Leave the course. Stay. Win the green jacket for me, baby. I love it.
So everybody talking about winning the bag. If you walk off that course – mm-hmm. Like in the middle of the fourth round with like a 4-shot lead. Can you even imagine the number of sponsorships you're going to get because you did what you did? Can you imagine you'll make that tenfold, whatever you make for winning the match?
Yeah, you'll be on Good Morning America.
All that sappy stuff, but guess what?
They're all going to pay.
But guess what?
They're all going to pay everybody.
Oh, you're going to play. You're going to pay in the clubhouse though.
Yeah.
Oh, amongst the fellas.
Yeah.
Oh, they won't say nothing against you in public.
You'll be cashing his check.
Yeah. Would I trade?
Procter and Gamble.
Would I trade my Charmin sponsorship? Yeah. My Charmin sponsorship for that green jacket for the rest of my life? No way. I'm not walking off that golf course.
What if you already have one? He's already got one.
That might be a different argument, but if it's a challenge, in other words,
it's not a different argument for the baby, right? That's the same argument for the baby. What if you have a baby and you don't have a baby?
Well, then I'd keep winning another green jacket. I would not walk off the golf course. TLD may walk away from me, but I would say, baby, I love you.
Let me tell you something. When you're like 92 and you're taking your last breath and your daughter's sitting there right next to you,
Hyla would never blame me.
Right?
It's not going to matter.
You're going to care about a green jacket?
Yeah,
maybe a little bit.
Yeah, I am. Yeah, listen, we all have babies and we all love them, and they're near and dear to our hearts.
Selfishness here in this room.
Yeah, but wow. Look, I don't deny it. I'm just simply saying that, like, you got to do what you got to do. If I flip the role and I'm on my deathbed or whatever, and they're going to leave to come see me, no, do your thing. Be there. Win it. Take it.
Or you just come back the next year and win it.
Nah. All right, 641-1010. You guys can keep it rolling in that. RJ, did you put the X poll out? Tell us how it reads.
Absolutely. So our X poll brought to you by Beaver Chevrolet and Beaver Toyota. If you're in the lead on Sunday at Augusta, on the back nine, and you get word that your wife is going into labor, what do you do? That is up right now on X at 1010XL. Right now, guys, 66% say that they would stay and finish the Masters.
Yeah, there you go. All right, keep voting off the text line. You'd be insane to walk off that course on Sunday, even if you aren't in the lead. If your wife doesn't understand, then you should be married to someone else. Oh, it's beautiful because they do embrace. Like, Leon, think about it. Mm-hmm. And I understand you've had, you know, beautiful children. But if you're in the Super Bowl, like you described the fourth quarter, you walk it off?
No, absolutely not. Fourth quarter, and we're in the lead. Am I walking off and say, hey, listen, fellas.
Because
I got,
you are the one person that can say, I've been in that environment. You know how tough it is to win.
Absolutely. It's tough to win, and it's tough to get back to. I mean, my kids just have to – I love them. They just got to get over it.
Yeah. Again, the stories.
I was saying, but listen. But,
stories
hey,
to tell.
Listen, my Super Bowl money – help pay for their college fund.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, listen, they all went to college off Big Sur's.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
you're gonna get tenfold that with your
hey, listen.
No, I don't think so. All right, we got a little college football that we need to talk with our man Pat Dooley with coming up in a few minutes because Duels is going to be at the spring game tomorrow. The Frangie Show is going to be at Spurrier's this afternoon. From 4 to 6, and they'll have a handful talking Gator football. It's an important one for Billy Napier. I don't think there's any question about that. And we'll find out whether Billy Vanilli is going to actually look the part this go-around where they're actually going to start to look like they could win some football games. So we'll get into that with him. But then we're also going to roll into some other college football games. You got the Miami spring game.
Yes, actually, this weekend is Miami Alumni Weekend, and they're having it on campus at the Cobb Stadium down there in the Coral Gables right there on campus, whatever. Yeah. You know, it used to be at the Hard Rock.
Yeah.
You know, they had the issue with traveling there and getting players and all that kind of stuff like that. So they decided to have it at the Cobb Stadium right on campus as Alumni Weekend. At the dinner last night, I mean, the dinner tonight of where all the guys go, Michael Irvin speaking. So.
Okay.
Sure, the ears will be filled. Whatever.
Yeah, ignite the flame.
And
it's get all the Canes back to respect.
Off-season optimism, baby.
That's Campo's favorite guy, by the way, in the locker room.
Huh?
That's Campo's favorite guy in the locker room. Best guy he's ever.
Michael Irvin.
Yeah, I can understand
that. Best player he's ever seen in a locker room.
First time I was on campus at University of Miami, I was checking into the 36 dorms, and I remember seeing him. He was going to class, and I told my dad, "Hey, Dad, isn't that Michael Irvin?" I was starstruck as a freshman, knowing that it's going to be my teammate, but I watched him on TV. You know, I recognized greatness. I appreciated it.
Now, we got all these other college football games that we're going to talk about. Just at least drop a little note in. Mm-hmm. Ohio State, Arky, Tennessee, Florida, Georgia, Kentucky, LSU, Ole Miss, Miami, and Bama. So we'll try and touch on all of them. This is Kalen DeBoer's debut with the A-Day game in Tuscaloosa. So if you're a college football fan, you can hit the text line. Let us know what you're looking for with any of the teams that you might have your spring game. Because it's worth pointing out that April 15th comes in a hurry and the transfer portal opens back up. There are still teams like FSU and others that will have not had their spring game before that transfer portal opens back up. So that's worth getting into as well. It is XL Primetime.
You're riding in the First Coast Honda Dealer Studios. XL Primetime on 1010XL. Let's ring up another guest on the All-Pro Roofing phone line. It's a Big Hair Heavy Metal Friday on XL Primetime.
We got our man, Pat Dooley, to talk a little orange and blue, and I'm sure he's going to sneak in a comment about Augusta as well. And I'll tie the two together real quick because, Pat Dooley, welcome in. How are you?
I'm doing good. Every time I watch the Masters, I think about when I play.
Well, all about duels.
It's funny because we're having this argument, and not argument, just having a fun discussion about the idea that Scottie Scheffler and his wife, that she is pregnant, and if she goes into labor, would he walk off the golf course on Sunday? So we turned it into an X-Bowl question, and I told the story about being late to pick up my brand-new baby and TLD, my wife, from the Gator game, and she said she did text in and say, you could stay for a green jacket, just not for a Gator game. So there is a big difference as far as she is concerned.
Now, is that in the Napier era or the Spurrier era? Because that would be different, yeah.
Yeah, it'll change your opinion, the present.
It's ironic because I'm out here right now playing golf with my lovely daughter.
Oh, well, there you go. That's awesome. Yeah, that's awesome. All right, so we will sneak in an Augusta thought from you as far as how things are going right now. But how are things going with Billy? And this is a critical spring game for him, the third one that he's coached in. And what do you think what do you think Gator fans will be treated to tomorrow?
Well, I think that the ideal thing is they get treated to no injuries, because that is the one thing that keeps these coaches from playing against other teams instead of playing against each other. But look, I think it's got to be clean. That's one thing. All the penalties that they've had last year. You know, Billy talked to the quarterback club here in Gainesville Tuesday night. He talked a lot about special teams and what his plan was for it and how they were going to solve that problem. And he had a lot of good answers to a lot of questions. But he's the guy who said this, and I'm not saying it. We all know it. It's got to transfer to the field. All the good things they're doing with academics, with helping the community and everything, aren't going to matter if he doesn't win more games. So they've got to at least give people a level of excitement, you know, to be fired up. And I think it'll be a big crowd because people want to go see Lagway.
All right, Duels. Yesterday we had Louis Oliver on, and I want to apologize again to the listeners for his language. He dropped a couple F-bombs. Listen, the point is this. This is the point I want to make, and this is kind of the reality of the situation. He's mad, he's fed up, he's annoyed, and he's at the end of his rope. And I kind of think, and our text line was going crazy when he's on there saying, this guy's saying exactly what we want to hear. Is the fan base at that point right now, do you think?
No, I don't think it is. I think it is with a lot of fan bases, including Kentucky. I think there are people that are really upset with this, and they're up and look, nobody's happy right now, but I think there are a lot of people that still believe in what Billy's trying to do, and they know this is going to be his best team, and but they've got to see it. They've got to see it happen on the field, just like I said. And unless they can make it happen on the field, then you go, okay, this didn't work. And I think that's where they are. I don't think that Louis Oliver or anybody else is going to characterize the entire fan base. I think it's a kind of a split right now, to be honest.
Now, Dooley, this your first impression on what you've seen this spring. What grouping are you most impressed with, and which grouping do you think needs a little bit more time?
Well, the group that needs more time is the receivers, because that's where they're hurting a little bit. They have not had some guys step up the way they, and they're going to go in the portal. To get somebody, at least one player, when we get into this next portal period. Obviously, Trey Wilson's a unique talent. He's different. But they've got to have some other guys step up. As far as the guys that are doing a good job, I do think that their secondary is going to be better. I think the change in coaches seems to have been a boost for them. And, you know, they're tackling better in practice than they, and you know, everybody knows they didn't tackle anybody last year. My biggest thing watching this game is going to be to see how players react to the ball in the air, because that has been the biggest problem over the last 4 years, really. I mean, we can go back to 2 years of Dan Mullen where they just played terrible defense and could not get to the ball, you know, just the ball's in the air and nobody ever seems to knock it down or pick one up. Florida had three interceptions last year. Three. That's three more than me.
Oh,
okay?
Yeah.
It's not good. They've got to do a better job of that.
Now, Dooley, I don't know how y'all got a Cersei there, but how's he been looking?
Oh, yeah. Tremendous. Yeah, tremendous. You know that because you know where it comes from.
Well, it's funny because he tried to take credit, and then he said, Cersei, that's a gator. I don't know if I want to take credit for that. We're talking with Pat Dooley. You can find him on many things that still are in your Gator fandom, and it could be Gators Wire. It could be WRUF. It could be Dooley Noted with his podcast. So when we think of the development of the quarterback and taking that step from a Graham Mertz to a DJ Lagway, what have you heard? What do you think in terms of Lagway assuming that role at some point in the season?
Well, I think it's going to be a different offense that they're going to put in for him. You know, you got to remember, Graham Mertz is a really smart quarterback, and he knows everything they're trying to do, and he understands it. They've got, I mean, they can script it a lot differently for him than they can for Lagway right now. Lagway, from everything I've heard, is making wow plays, and then, wow, we don't want that to happen again plays. So, which you would expect for a freshman, you know. I mean, again, this is a kid who's 17 years old, and a lot of expectations on him. I think it's going to be very similar to what we saw with Leek Tebow. Now, it's not going to be Tebow because there's only one Tim Tebow, as you know, and Chris Leek was a senior quarterback who had played a lot. So I think that you're going to see something similar to that, though, in terms of playing time. And they've got to get Lagway ready in case something happens with Graham Mertz. They know that. I mean, the schedule they're playing is very difficult, and guys are going to come after the quarterback, as you know. So they're going to have to be better. And the offensive line is going to have to protect whoever's back there. They seem to think they've got a better offensive line than they did before, and that they've strengthened it through the portal. But, I got to see it in person before I believe it.
Duels, I would be completely shocked if Mertz isn't his ride or die right now. And I mean, for the majority of most games, unless
you're going all season?
Like, yeah, I mean, the whole season. I mean, unless they start like 1-4, then it's done. Then you play Lagway. But I would be shocked if Mertz isn't playing, you know, 95% of every game. It's just, I think the idea
is, I don't disagree with you.
Around him? Like, what's Chimere Dike looked like?
Yeah, that's the thing. They've got to have guys that are going to be able to do the things that he needs to do. But the basic thing is, if they can protect him, he is really good at making decisions and getting the ball out. Mm-hmm. So they've got to be able to protect him. That was part of the problem last year. And even then, they were averaging 30 points a game. I mean, it wasn't like they were terrible on offense. But I think Lagway will play. But I'm with you. I think 90-10 probably. Assuming that everybody's healthy, I think is the way it'll go. But you're going to want to now in this game. Obviously, it's going to be 50-50. But once the season starts, yeah, I would think there'll be plays for Lagway. But there's only so much they can give him right now because he's still very young.
Now, dudes, I don't know what the impression is with the Florida Gator fan base, but I know at my University of Miami that this is a make or break season for Mario. Quite frankly, I mean, he's got to win a certain amount of games and get in the playoffs, so the fan base is going to be in the uproar. I mean, how much is the Florida game important? I mean, the Miami game important to you, and how important of a season is this for Billy Napier moving forward?
Well, it's huge for him, and he can't go 5-7, or he's going to be, you know, walking out the door. I mean, we know that, but it's huge for Miami too. You know that. I mean, either way, the winner of that game is going to feel a lot better about where their season's going. The loser is going to feel like, okay, let's start the clock. So, would you rather play Miami at home or Utah on the road to start the season? I think we all know the answer there. You'd rather play Miami at home. So we'll see how that goes. But yeah, no, it's a huge game for both teams and for their futures and their immediate futures and their long range futures.
All right, so as we say goodbye to you, one word that you think might be uttered as Gator fans are exiting the swamp tomorrow. Just one word that you think.
This is a family show. I can't go Lewis Oliver on
this. Cannot go Lewis Oliver. Thank goodness you cannot do that. Our general manager is listening, please.
But along those lines, is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
I think what it'll be is I think a lot of fans are going to walk out of the game going, okay. All right. That's what I was hoping to see, and now we'll see if they can translate that to the field when games matter. I think that's what now if they go out and see 8 false start penalties, they're going to go, we got problems, the same problems we had before.
Yeah.
So So I think he's addressed a lot of this stuff. Talking to him the other day, he's addressed the special teams problems and addressed a lot of the other issues that they had. I think they're going to be a pretty good team. Now, how that translates into wins and losses, we have to wait and see. Don't forget, they were really close to being 8-4 team last year.
Yeah, that's how I came up with the name, the Jacksonville Ifs. If that had happened, and so Florida might get that moniker as well. All right, we will see. Listen, I'm going to always optimistic in the offseason. That's all we can be. Enjoy the round. Enjoy being with your daughter. And as always, we appreciate it. WRUF, you can find him duly noted with his podcast, and you can find him Gators Wire, right?
Well, yeah, and you know that this is my daughter because she's wearing a Masters hat right now.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Right, of course. That's pretty awesome. All right, buddy. Thank you, man.
All right, we'll see you guys anytime.
All right. At @Pat_Dooley.
By the way, I think Dool shot 82 when he played there. He made the media.
The lottery.
Lottery. Yeah. I think he shot 82.
Ooh, that's awesome.
And that was a long time ago. That was probably I think I was still covering the beat. Yeah. He was like a young man, and back then he was literally like a 4 or 5 handicap. He's that good.
He's a good player. The worst ever was Mike Bianchi is in the lottery. It's the Monday after the Masters. They draw names, and you get a chance to play. And he didn't play. He said he was too nervous. Like, you got to be kidding me.
He's the worst player ever.
He is pretty bad. But I was like, you got to be kidding me. Name drawn, said pass.
He shrunk under the lights, is what you're saying.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, I mean, you could even go there and just kick it around with a putter, and you still say you're out there on Augusta.
Exactly. I wonder if he changes his mind now when he looks back based on our discussion that we are having about would you walk off the course, would you not?
The last thing you want in life is regrets.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So we'll keep this question going into the second hour, and then we're going to do the other college football talk. But you Gator fans, just make a note, RJ, because we will ask Gator fans the same thing we asked Pat Dooley next Monday. One word, whatever, however we describe to do it, or however we decide to do it, but describe what your feeling was coming out of the orange and blue game if you went. So be thinking about that, Gator fans, because we want to know what you do think. Into the 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock hour, Bush Driver Rich says, referring to Matt Hayes, Hayes knows good and damn well that nothing would be better than being 98 on your deathbed with the kid that you didn't leave the Masters for sitting next to you wearing that green jacket that you won. There is nothing better. All right, so keep that theme going into the 3 o'clock hour. Coach Campo will be joining us. We'll be talking ball right here on XL Primetime.
The First Coast Honda Dealer Studios on 1010 XL. XL Primetime's Coach Dave Campo is brought to you by Bold City Heating and Air. Online at boldcityac.com. It's a Big Hair Heavy Metal Friday on XL Primetime.
Our Big Hair Heavy Metal head coach is in the building. Dave Campo, fired up and ready to go, aren't you, Coach?
Absolutely.
You love it?
You got the Masters rolling, and it's getting close to the draft. What else do you want?
So you got Woods and Koepka in that pile right now at one over. I know you've been watching a little bit.
Yeah.
And I was saying it earlier, I think there's more coverage in these first two rounds as far as ESPN personalities than I think I've ever seen at Augusta. They got some serious boots on the ground, and they've been putting on a great show. It's been awesome to watch.
I think that's a perfect example, though, of why a legendary player like Tiger Woods is involved. I think that's probably part of it. I'm not sure. It's not all of it, but, yeah. I mean, I'm sure that's part of it.
But like you said, 29 years he's been part of our history at Augusta, we've been treated
absolutely.
To. He's delivered so many moments. All right, we've got our head coach in with us, Dave Campo, Joe C., Matt Hayes, Big Cerse, Leon Cerse, and R.J. Saunders. And we just chowed on one smoked thigh from Matt Hayes, and we shared it. That's how much we like one another.
Yeah, man, we share because we care.
Yeah, and we even left some for R.J. too.
We did a bone. We left him a little bit.
It was just outstanding.
Slow smoke.
Yeah, we just looked at Matt like, where's the rest of these chicken thighs?
Exactly, bro.
They were so good. It was so good. All right, so let's get into a couple of things, Coach. And Leon's got in honor of the chicken thigh, he wants to unveil his 3-piece combo. By the time you get to Friday night, your Jacksonville draft board will look like X. And you don't, you can name the player. You don't have to name the player, but give us the three-piece combo, well, and a Jaguar fan hopefully will be happy.
Well, I'm thinking if you get a DB,
mm-hmm.
if you get a O lineman, mm-hmm. and you get a D lineman, that's my three-piece.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If we get three in the first three picks, if we get any combination of wherever it may be, if we get any combination of those three position groups,
right.
I wouldn't be mad.
And I think I'm okay with the fact that he kind of gave us a little gray area, D-line, meaning it could be rushing, it could mm-hmm. be interior lineman.
Yeah, I think the only thing you got there is, you know, I personally would go.
He missed on the wide receiver, is that what you're saying?
Well, I would go DB, the corner, uh-huh. wide receiver, and O-lineman, because mm-hmm. I'm a little concerned if they don't take a D-lineman
okay.
in the first round. It goes downhill from there.
So that's a three-piece and a biscuit.
Yeah.
O-lineman is the biscuit. All right, I got to appreciate that, Coach. I like that. I like that.
Because it's true. It's a thin, and you've looked at this, Matt. It is a thin defensive tackle class if you don't get one of those bigs early.
You want my three-piece?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want big, nasty, and then you can do any whatever side you want. I don't care if you want
ugly.
corner or wide receiver, whatever with the third one.
Big, nasty, and ugly.
Big and nasty the first two picks.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And I prefer offense, yeah. offensive side of the ball, offensive lineman. But if one of them's got to be a defensive line interior guy, I'm good with that too.
Yeah, and I think the three-piece combo, and then we're just having fun with it because it makes you hungry, first off. And then number two is like you're just like, am I going to be happy Friday night with my meal and what your Jacksonville Jaguars have gotten by the time they get to that third pick overall, which is three of the top 100 picks. And it's funny because that defensive tackle class does drop off. And, heck, at the end of our draft, Coach, we were doing our mocks yesterday.
Right.
And once you go past the first handful of guys that are there, it took both Matt and I until the sixth or seventh round to get an interior defensive lineman. And there were multiple interior offensive linemen that we were
Yeah, going. That's why I feel like in the first two rounds, if you can find one, mm-hmm. you go ahead and take one because, you know, I think once it passes that, you're in trouble.
Mm-hmm. So yeah. So more defensive interior than offensive interior?
No, again,
which would you choose first?
Protect the quarterback.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. First.
My man.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's first. And then I think we got enough firepower on defense to play the season.
Right.
You know, hopefully. Up front.
God willing, mm-hmm. the creek don't rise.
Yeah, I'm counting on Hamilton.
Mm-hmm.
I know some aren't, but I'm kind of counting on him to go back, you know.
I would love it.
To go back to where he was when they offered him the contract.
It'd be a good story.
I don't know that everybody's not counting him. I think it's more of, okay, if we get something from him, that's a bonus.
Well, yeah.
If you don't get something from him, it's kind of what you had last year.
Yeah, that's
which
true.
Is probably why you got to draft the defensive tackle.
Yeah.
At some
point. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, as a four-man front, do you trust him? It's starting long, Coach, in the four-man front. Do you think you need another defensive lineman to get that pass rush, or do you think Hamilton's good enough at the one to where he can get pressure?
You know, if he's what he was when they offered him the contract, you know, mm-hmm. he had some push on a quarterback.
Okay.
Now. I think that's what's important.
Really good, yeah.
Yeah. So to me, I would be more inclined to find a third pass rusher,
mm-hmm.
you know, if there's one around. Whether that this Josh Allen signing right. gives you an opportunity to maybe go get somebody that might be out there that helps you a little bit,
mm-hmm.
Then I would. You know, to take somebody that I don't feel real comfortable with in the D tackle.
All right,
you know,
so it's really your first opportunity to jump in on the Josh Allen discussion. But it's funny, we asked this question, has it changed your draft board? It really shouldn't because
no.
you still don't have depth.
Right. Yeah. I think it's again, here's the thing. I was counting on Josh Allen from the beginning because you know you've got him for
yeah,
1 year.
You had him.
So
you
I'm not worried. I wasn't worried too much about
very true.
You know that situation. So when you're looking at the draft, you're looking at guys that can, you know, hopefully this year help you, you know, get there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and
that'd be more than hopefully.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
right.
Yeah.
We
yeah.
live in a hope world,
I mean,
right now.
Yeah.
Hope
yeah.
is
when
not a plan,
that.
Okay?
Yeah.
I say that all the time.
Yeah, you're right.
My dad told me that for as long as I, you know,
hope is
not
a plan.
That's a good, yeah, you gotta make it your plan, whatever it is.
Yeah, it's funny because, like, Ryan Nielsen's looking at that roster. He's looking at that depth chart and exodus of a couple of starters in Darius Williams and Rayshon Jenkins and moving things around, obviously with the different alignment, he's got more than hope. He's got tape. He's got personnel. He's got game plans that he can initiate. On the outside looking in, you're just hoping Devon stays healthy and that Devin Lloyd becomes that guy off the edge in that linebacking core that you expected when you drafted him in the first round.
Yeah, and I think that you got, this Gibson guy that they got. You know, he's had some sacks in the past. I think we could play with the guys we have right now on defense, to be honest with you. But I'm concerned about protecting the quarterback and the corner position to a certain extent.
Right. And
you if you can get a receiver, I heard coming in talking about on Helmets and Heels, talking about the to trade for Higgins.
Right.
Okay. You have to trade for him.
Right.
And then pay him.
Oh, whereas, yeah.
Whereas if you take Thomas, for example, a lot of people think that he's that type of a guy, but you're betting on it. Yeah, you're betting on it, but you got a guy for at least 5 years and low money.
You say bet, I say hope.
Yeah.
With T. Higgins, you have a proven guy in the league, and he's ascending.
Yeah, it's like, and this was part of our podcast going back in the day. Not back in the day, but a few weeks back, is either you are building or buying. Those are the two things that you are doing. Are you building a football team or are you buying a football team? You give up a first-round pick, and you instantly have to pay that guy $20 million
a year. But it also depends where you are.
Instantly.
Yeah.
Like Ayuk or Higgins.
They're technically not building. They're technically a player or two away from competing to get to a long run in the playoffs. So I guess the way I look at it is I don't think they're building right now. I think they need a couple players is what they need.
Okay,
so that's why I would say if you're going to do that and you can get away with just losing a second for T. Higgins, I absolutely
right. If the market is such where you don't have to give up that 17th pick and you
now, that's different, right.
Yeah. But let's just make this clear. Stephon Diggs is an aging wide receiver that looked like a little bit of a malcontent. And they were content to take a $31 million cap hit to say goodbye to Stephon Diggs. T. Higgins is not the same guy.
Right.
He's 25 years old. He's been a reliable, consistent playmaker.
Right. But while good, he's good.
Yeah.
And I would do the deal.
Yeah.
He's not worth a one.
Yeah,
he's not a one.
You're going to have to give it up to get him, though.
Yeah.
They won't take anything.
Well, then they're not. Then they got to deal with it. Then
and the other half of this,
they let him go.
Let's just not forget this year.
I mean,
is that if you had drafted well and they haven't, as a rule, then you wouldn't have as many starters that you need right now plugged in because 50% of their starters at a minimum are free agents.
Right. 50%. Which is bad.
Yeah.
That's not what you want, really.
And if anything, what Josh Allen signing did, honestly, if anything, it took away the possibility of them, let's say Jared Verse falls to 17, or let's say Dallas Turner falls to 17 for some reason. Then at that point, if you still haven't signed Josh Allen, then you might take one of those edge guys, and then you just say, all right, let's play him.
Yeah.
Let Josh play on that tag, and if Jared Verse or Dallas Turner plays up and turns it up, then you can just say, all right, see you later, Josh.
Because what you did is you put your thumb on him
if that happens.
That's why it's really
good
news.
But that's all
news.
Over now, yeah. Obviously.
Yeah. Really good news for a lot of people on both sides of this equation, bargaining table, however you want to describe
it. Right.
It's good news for both because Balky gets to operate free, unhinged, not worried about whether or not he's going to be able to get a deal done, and Allen doesn't have to worry about them trying to squeeze him a little bit by going and getting a guy at his position.
Right.
And so that definitely helps, that's for sure. All right, so the combo, you guys can hit a 6-4-1-10-10, three-piece combo. What would you be happy with positionally once you got to the end of Friday night if you're a Jaguar fan? You can definitely do that. RJ, let's give him the X-Poll again just so we can get a little more out of this in this second hour before we're done. Coach Campo has not been asked this question just yet, so RJ, throw it out there.
Yes, our XL Primetime X poll question of the day brought to you by Beaver Chevrolet and Beaver Toyota. If you're in the lead on Sunday at Augusta, we're talking on the back nine here, and you get word that your wife is going into labor, what do you do? Right now, that is on X.
We have had plenty on the text line that have chimed in.
One of them even suggested that tell her to stop being so selfish. Get a midwife in the clubhouse and let me know when you see the baby's head pop out. Another one says 9 holes doesn't take as long as labor. Easy decision, which leads us to you, Coach Campo. How many children? Quite a few.
6.
Okay, yeah, yeah. Should I ask you if it was the first or should I ask you if it was the sixth?
Well,
where is Tommy in the hierarchy?
It does change a little bit during that period of time. Listen, I've got a couple things. Number one, I can't believe you guys have lowered the show enough to even ask that question because you're putting a lot of people on notice here.
You wouldn't go with what they said.
There are no sacrificial lambs here. You know, you're dealing with it if you're listening to us, okay?
Well, okay. Then the answer to that question is that green jacket's looks awful good to me.
It's like one of them.
You know what's so funny? Like if Kay was in here, yeah. Kay was sitting there watching to the stadium.
Yeah, there's no way.
He'd go, my child. Yeah. Are you kidding me? Of course it's my child.
Kay would look at TLD. We'd all be done. Yeah. But off the text line, I do so much for the fam, they'd understand.
Yeah, all right. Exactly.
So you guys could let us know, 641-1010. It is XL Primetime, Big Hair, Heavy Metal. You can bring in some rock and roll suggestions. Our new DJ is RJ, so you can hit it and let us know some good rock and roll before we are done at the 4 o'clock hour.
Buckle up. You're in the First Coast Honda Dealer Studios with XL Primetime on 1010XL. Find your new Honda at your 8 local Honda dealers. That just happened. Brought to you by Florida Home AC, the official air conditioning partner of the Jacksonville Jaguars.
All right, some college football news that falls under the category of once one thing happens, all the dominoes fall. So Mississippi's pending bill right now in its state legislature to amend its current NIL law has been signed by the Senate and House and has been sent to the governor today for signature. If signed, it goes into effect immediately. Among other things, the new law will allow schools, being universities, Ole Miss, Mississippi State, Southern
right.
Miss,
Miss,
to enable, support, create, facilitate deals for athletes.
So that means they can bring it in-house.
The universities that will have brought it in-house.
Yeah, they can
and
bring
once,
it in-house.
Again, once it passes in one state,
mm-hmm.
they'll all do it.
Well, Hugh Freeze said it the other day. We were talking about this with the Auburn game, and he said it wouldn't be a bad idea. He said, I want guys to obviously be able to profit from this game, but if we could manage it somehow, and that way it's in-house.
So first off, that also doesn't mean that Florida Victorious isn't completely working with Billy Napier. Of course they are. They just don't randomly go after
right.
players.
They have been and
right,
will continue
right,
to.
Right. It's just now it will be completely above board and you'll be able to and the university will be able to use specific funds for that purpose.
But you should never say in college football completely above board. Say that.
So what's the university's
for
cut?
The most part,
what's the university's cut in all this? There's got to be a cut somewhere. Because at first, it had nothing to do with the universities, right? It had to do with all the collectives where they were collectively put.
The university had, quote unquote, nothing to do with the university.
Yeah. I see what you're saying.
I see what you're saying. Yeah.
You'd be worried about we need administrative fees.
That part right there.
There might be that. Yeah, I wouldn't doubt that at all.
Break us off
a little chunk, you know.
All right, RJ, fire up a little college football music. We're going to get back to the draft and your Jacksonville Jaguars, but we got a lot of spring football, and April 15th is going to be fast and furious as far as transfer portal opening back up. But I just want to make a couple things here. You guys jump in. Ohio State looking for a brand-new quarterback, but they have a brand-new quarterback, okay, because Will McCord left. They go get Howard from Kansas State. Does he win that job? Yay or nay, Patty?
Will Howard?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I would think so.
I mean, he's got a couple of freshmen, Julian Sain,
that are battling.
I think his name is Eric Jordan, believe it or not.
Yeah.
Two freshmen that are battling him, but I would be shocked if Will Howard is going to.
So the presumptive starter is going to be a transfer portal guy and a guy that was pretty good in a Kansas State Wildcat uniform. All right, you've got Arkansas, Tennessee, a couple of teams that are making sure KJ Jefferson is gone. You've got now Nico taking things up on Rocky Top. I'm just saying Nico. Just going to go with that for a while. How impressed will people be?
I'm just going to go with that for a while.
Just going to go with Nico for a while. How impressed will Rocky Top be once they see him in the
They saw him against
They're
Iowa.
They're going to be in love with him.
They saw him against Iowa, and he played well in that game against a really good Iowa defense, by the way.
He did play well. I like
The only problem in that game is the Iowa offense couldn't move the ball, so there was really no stress on him. Mm-hmm. He didn't really have to score, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I want to see him playing in an SEC game. He's loaded talent. Mm-hmm. The dude can make every throw. He's athletic. He's going to be a problem.
He looks like a
star. He's going to be a problem in the run game for defenses. It's going to be fun to watch because now you're going to see – I mean, Hendon Hooker ran. There's no doubt he ran for Tennessee, but he's not – Nico is a much better athlete than Hendon Hooker.
Yeah.
Much better.
And they probably should have had him in. Like, I
should have played him last year.
Yeah, they should have played him much sooner.
When it was clear that they were no longer in the race for the East Division, he should have played a lot more.
All right, what will we learn in Miami? Big Sirs, because you got their game.
Yeah. Well, I mean, listen, it's alumni week now. Coach Campo and I both know how festive that can be. Your boy Michael Irvin speaking at the dinner tonight or whatever. But this whole offseason all been about Cam Ward. It's all about Cam Ward. It's an interesting thing he said about the offense. He says the air raid under center. That's what he said, the air raid under center.
So Shannon Dawson's actually doing a few different things.
Absolutely. Yeah, you know, and you look at the wide receivers they got coming back. They got Jacoby George that's coming back, and then you got Xavier Restrepo that's coming back.
Yeah, Restrepo's a good player.
Absolutely
really
good player. And then you got the freshman, you got JoJo Trader, the freshman that's coming in. But the word that I've been getting on the text thread is that the defensive front is just – and Matt was a little amazed by this because we got five stars on the offensive line, but he said that defensive front is getting after it pretty good, led by Reuben Bain Jr., who's a hell
of a –
you got
to come up with a nickname for him, man.
I got to.
Reuben the
Rapper. You know what we're going to call him? We're going to call him R&B.
All right.
Rhythm and blues, baby. R&B.
Man, you just nailed it.
R&B, baby. That's what I'm going to call him.
Yeah.
R&B.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you know, like I said,
this
is the off season. You know, I'm window shopping when it comes to Miami. I'm not going in the store to buy anything until I see them August 31st against Florida.
All right. A couple of other ones that are out there. We had a question on the text line designed by Lifetime Enclosures. Ole Miss. They're going to do it differently. They don't want to showcase anybody. Lane Kiffin's idea is that if I'm showcasing guys in my spring game, that they may get poached.
Yes.
Because people are going to have tape on them. This is a different thought when it comes to actual – the spring is supposed to be for guys to be given an opportunity to get tape, and yet that's a thought coming out of Oxford.
He's got three quarterbacks right now. I mean, obviously Jackson Dart is his guy, but – the other two could easily be poached. They're deep at running back. They're deep at receiver. Yeah, I could easily see someone trying to poach them.
All right, so LSU's losing Jaden Daniels.
That's a playoff team, by the way, this year.
Yeah. Ole Miss, Ole Miss.
No doubt about it.
Look, he is a tremendous coach. They did a lot of things well last year. They were really in it for a long time until the Egg Bowl, really all the way through. Before that, they were, you know, they ended up prevailing there. But still, LSU's got to replace.
They met up with Georgia.
Hmm?
So they met up with Georgia,
which
can be said about pretty much everybody.
Yeah, exactly. LSU's got to replace not just Jaden Daniels, but a bunch of other guys.
Yeah, and I mean, we saw what Garrett Nussmeier's done as a quarterback. He's a talented kid, man. So, and they've got a lot. We're talking now, this is Brian Kelly's fourth class coming up. So you're talking about a guy that has nailed three straight really good recruiting classes. These are his guys now, man.
Yeah.
And they've got some players.
All right. The last one I think that we should at least – well, Kentucky and Alabama – because Kentucky's got to replace another pretty good quarterback.
Evan Leary was Vandegrift. Everybody's interested to see what Vandegrift does away from Georgia.
Yeah, and so is Vandegrift going to be better there than Devin Leary was, the last guy that said, I'm leaving so I can go there, it'll be a blue paradise for me? And it wasn't.
I think he's more like Levis
in
the fact that he's athletic. Devin Leary wasn't going to run and hurt you.
Mm-hmm.
Vandegrift can
still
run.
Still a big enough kid, though, I'm surprised.
And Levis could run. But Levis kind of didn't run as much. It's funny because when Levis was at Penn State, he was the run.
Mm-hmm.
He was the run option at quarterback. He got to Kentucky, and Liam Cohen, the OC there, who's now back in the NFL, shut that down quickly. He became a thrower. I don't know what happens with Vandegrift. Are they still going to use his legs? I would think they would.
Mm-hmm.
And then Alabama is, of course. I don't watch spring games. I will watch the Alabama spring games. Because I want to see what has happened with Jalen Milroe over the last 3 months under Kalen DeBoer. You know, does he look comfortable now throwing the ball? You know, is he a changed player, a lot like Michael Penix with Kalen DeBoer?
With Kalen DeBoer. That's a good example. It really is. We'll leave it there because that's the guy that Kalen DeBoer had Penix before when, you know, from Indiana to Washington, but turned him into
his first year, he was
a very reliable player. He did not get sacked that often, even though he had the knee injuries and couldn't take off and run. Milroe, we know, can run and is dynamic, but was developing as a thrower. How much better will DeBoer make him? And then the other part of it is that this is more than a decade and a half that Saban has run A-Day. There are going to be people that will be looking around, looking for that.
That place will be packed. There'll be 80,000 people there. I guarantee they will.
Yeah.
I mean, it's – look, he had – Kalen DeBoer had Penix as a true freshman when he was redshirting in Indiana.
Yeah.
All right? And he was just a raw mold of clay, ball of clay, right? Mm-hmm. He played well at times at Indiana. He still struggled mightily there, even with the injury, without the injuries. He got to Washington and he completely changed. Yeah. So that's what I want to see what Milroe looks like in this game. And this will be a very good idea of what it is because they're not going to hide anything in this game because he wants to show the fans this is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
This is what we got.
Let's also not forget that when Penix ultimately played his best, he was, 24 years old? So that had a lot to do
I mean, Milroe is now a fourth-year junior.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. All right, so there you go. A little college football, spring football. You guys can jump in on that subject if you've got a thought as far as some of the stuff that's taking place on your college campus. That's for sure. All right, it's XL primetime. Back to your Jacksonville Jaguars. And I do like this suggestion. Hurricane Bane could be his nickname.
Hurricane Bane?
Hurricane Bane.
Well, I mean.
That's not bad.
That's not bad.
I think that is his nickname. I was looking for
uncle's
name. I was looking for your nickname for him.
My nickname for him?
He went with R&B.
R&B.
Yeah, yours is R&B. Yeah. I like R&B better than Hurricane Bane.
Yeah, but R&B ain't as scary as Hurricane Bane. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, his uncle was Hurricane Bane. It was Tolbert. Tolbert Bane. That's his uncle.
Okay.
All right. We used to call him Hurricane Bane.
All right. I guess I didn't know that.
Yeah, well, yeah.
all right. Well, I've got some Brad Paisley lyrics about our X-Poll question that we will bring up. We will get back to the Jaguars draft before our time with head coach Dave Campo, our head coach, is over. 4 o'clock hour, you're going to be heading down to Gainesville as the Franchise Show will broadcast live from Spurrier's.
Cruising with XL Primetime in the First Coast Honda Dealer Studios on 1010XL. This is XL Primetime, brought to you by Florida Home AC. Now that's cool on 1010XL.
Got some movement at the top of that leaderboard, that's for sure. 20 minutes in front of the 4 o'clock hour. We've been talking college football with spring games all coming up tomorrow. Talking Augusta, where you got Max Homa at the top, DeChambeau at the top. You got Scheffler at the top. They're all right now at 6 under par. And then Nikolai Højgaard is the next guy that's on the board, 4 under. Danny Willett's holding up right now. So is Ryan Fox. I told you that you'd see Ryan Fox, and then like a fox, boom, gone. You won't see him again. But he's at least hanging on. He's at 4 under par. Cam Davis is an Aussie. He's only won once on the PGA Tour, but he's finished up today with a little 3 under score, so he's looking pretty good. And then you got my man, Oberg, who went from started 1 over, fell all the way to 2 over in this second round, and has fought back to a 3 under score. Whoa. So that means in a stretch from the 8th to the 16th hole, he has played 5 under golf. That's pretty good. Mm. So he's on the move. That's the first timer that's made it there and is already turning heads, that's for sure. All right, let's finish our conversation up with our head coach, Dave Campo, with the Jacksonville Jaguars. And the idea, like we said, you can come up with any combination, and I don't know that it's a perfect recipe if you go offensive line, cornerback, edge rusher, you know, whatever you come up with. But one thing's for sure, when we've done our mocks, Coach, it looks like it is a really deep cornerback class. It's a fairly deep wide receiver class. There's a bunch of offensive linemen that you better grab early because they're going to go pretty quickly. Those seem to be the deepest positions.
Yeah, and then you look at some like the deep defensive line,
mm-hmm.
Interior, it's not very deep.
Right.
So, you know, to me, I think there's going to be guys at that 17th pick that no matter who you take, you're going to be getting one of the better players in this year's draft. And that's unusual. Like, for example, you know, you could find an offensive lineman in that 17th pick that you would take, you know, if you're in need of a lineman that has a chance to be like Harrison or, you know, guys that we took, the guy we took
last
year.
If you're taking an offensive lineman 17, he's starting, correct?
As far as I'm concerned, yeah, because that's, you know.
They're not in a position to take a guy at 17 and have him sit.
Yeah.
I don't think so, unless you're talking about a rotational along the defensive front.
Or you push him to guard.
Or you push him to guard. Offensive lineman to guard. Right. But think about this, Matt. If they do go get any of these, the guys that we have picked, Fontenot, Fuanga, whomever.
Starter.
They're all being viewed as a tackle that goes inside to compete.
Yeah. Then what are you saying about
that? Fuanga isn't. Fontenot is.
Yeah, but what
Fontenot is.
Then what are you saying about the signing of Ezra Cleveland if you're going to draft a guy
you can't guarantee you're going to get somebody at 17. So you
No, I understand. I understand completely. But
and Ezra wasn't that pricey.
No, he wasn't. He wasn't that pricey. But, I mean, you gave him $24 million,
yeah.
You know.
It's true.
And if you go and draft his replacement, essentially.
Because CODB, baby.
Yeah, I ain't got no problem with it. Uh-huh. I don't got no problem with it. I don't have a problem with it at all.
If you can get Fuanga there at 17 for some reason, CODB, baby.
Listen, if you got an issue, go get a tissue. No crying in football.
Yeah. And look, you got to beat that guy out.
Yeah.
Okay, you're the vet. That's the rook. You got to beat that guy out. And you did get paid. And so you better compete. Because if you did get paid as a starter and you get beat out, you're not going to see the end of that contract.
Absolutely.
And that's basically the way they got to look at this bad boy. And so, essentially, as your draft board, you can explain this a little bit to the listeners out there. Your draft board, you're putting value grades on each one, importance of position on each one, and then it just slowly starts to wane. Prospects come off the board, and you got to be ready to react.
Right. And when I'm looking at the draft, the way it's going to come out, you can look at 20 different mock drafts, and they'll all be different.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know what's going to happen on that pick until you get close to it. And that's when you make a decision. You even start grouping guys that are left at that point. You get to number 14, 15. It's like Emmitt Smith when we got him in Dallas. We had to jump the Giants because we knew we were getting close.
Right.
And so you grouped it, and you said, okay, if we don't jump now, we're not going to get him. And that's how you make that decision.
You guys also picked him because you needed a running back. You needed a guy you can give the ball to 25 times, and
we were going to take a running back at that spot no matter what.
That's
true.
Right. So that's kind of my point is, I think the problem right now when you say you got to have an offensive lineman or you got to have a defensive lineman, you know why you're in the point where you got to have that or got to have that or got to have a corner? You know why you're there? Because you took tight end in the second round and running back in the third round last
year.
Mm-hmm. That's why you're there.
There's no doubt about that. I mean, it's what you would like to have happen in your build is take the free agents when you're starting, and then once you get kind of established, then you start taking the draft picks. Mm-hmm. For example, the reason we got going back in the day with the Cowboys was Plan B free agency. And then the trade for Herschel Walker. That was what propelled us. So what they did 2 years ago with the draft put them into position to start drafting. Well, they didn't draft well last year.
It's not only that they didn't draft well and get players that made impacts immediately. They took the wrong position.
That's what I'm saying. They did not draft.
Two of the top 780 picks, they took the wrong position.
Right.
Yeah, look, we can go down that road over and over and over.
So I know the argument is, well, he'd rather have a free agent and impact, which is just ridiculous.
Yeah,
ridiculous.
You draft players
and
to be part of your team
right.
for a longer period of time
because it's
on a cheaper level.
It's cheaper, absolutely. Yeah.
You're also more than likely going to get a better player if you draft.
Yeah, you got to draft well. You got to do your due diligence, and because I'm a bad draft kill franchise.
Absolutely,
they kill franchise.
Those two picks are. Again, I think they both can end up being pretty good players, but positionally, they really set them back. Those two picks.
All right, so let's listen to the position that was selected 17th overall as we count down 17 years of that 17th pick in the first round as we move to 2014.
With the 17th pick in the 2014 NFL Draft, the Baltimore Ravens select C.J. Mosley, linebacker, Alabama.
10. Rip it. Uncorks it. Off the deflection. Intercepted. C.J. Mosley. And it's over.
17th pick overall.
Good player.
That was another one of those Bama studs on the defensive side of the ball.
Good player.
Oh, yeah. Look, they went for a while with a lot of really, really good ones. Upshaws, Mosleys, you can go down the line with the guys that were coming, either playing linebacker or playing off the edge.
Those are not difficult picks either, Joe.
Yeah.
Those are, okay, C.J. Mosley, good player, linebacker, pick him.
Yeah.
Not that difficult to make that pick.
But not all Bama players did that.
No, yeah. True. But I'm saying you sometimes it's very easy. The thing I want to add, what Dave, to talk about is drafts don't live in a vacuum, right, Dave? Like they are affected and they impact other drafts.
Oh, yeah.
And free agency.
Right.
So it's not just like, okay, we'll just get this guy. That's kind of my thing with you can't just randomly say, oh, let's take the best player available. Oh, Brendan Strange there, he's the best player available. Let's get him.
Yeah.
You can't do that.
Yeah. They were mixing. I always believe you're mixing it with need, some level
of need.
Well,
that's what I was just going to say. Yeah. Look, when you put that draft board up there, you can say, okay, we have this guy graded this, and put them in the order. But what they do at the end is they group the players, and part of that grouping is based on need.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, what positions do I think that affects what grade I put them on? Back when we did it, you would have grades on all the guys, and then this week, going into this draft you're getting together, and the guys that make the final decision on where those guys are put on the draft board are the decision makers.
Yeah. That's They've when it goes to the top of the pyramid. Yeah.
You could have a guy with an 8-3 mm-hmm. here and a guy with an 8-1 above him.
Yeah, right.
Because you put the draft board the way you think it should come off for you to take the best available player.
Right.
Now, if you've done your homework, when you say best available player, if Harrison drops to 17 and you've got him graded as a number one player on your draft board, you have to think long and hard about
and
not taking him at 17.
You run the card up, yeah.
But if it gets to that group of players that are at 17 and you have four or five guys there, mm-hmm. then you take the one you need.
Yeah.
Not the grade. The grade puts him in that box.
That's the analysis you've done and then you're
going to
need.
Exactly.
All right, yeah. We need to get ready for the Frangie show. And I want you guys, if you're out there, as we pay off our X-Poll here in just a second, RJ, this XL Primetime listener has penned a great lyric with the question that we had today. If your wife let you know that she had gone into labor and you're on the back nine on Sunday with the lead trying to win a green jacket, would you walk off the golf course? This one text in. In the great lyrics of Brad Paisley, and you guys can picture, I'm going to miss her. Can you, like you country fans out there, you can picture the song, Well, I'm going to miss her. Well, this is the lyrics that he put together. Well, I love her, but I love to golf. I spend all day out on this golf course, and hell is all I catch. But today, she met me at the ward, said I would have to choose. If I hit that golf course today, she'd be packing all her things, and she'd be gone to deliver. Yeah, I'm going to miss her. Oh, looky there. I've got a green jacket. Round of applause right there, my man. That was excellent work, no doubt about it. Oh,
I'm gonna have to stop for some roses on the way home. I can see that right now.
I'm gonna miss her. So good. All right, we're gonna miss all of you. All of Duval, we had a great time with XL Primetime. We got to send it down Gainesville's way from this bill to that bill because they're set up at Spurrier's. We've got our anthem that we leave Friday afternoon with our big hair heavy metal. So we say thanks to all of you. Joe C., Coach Dave Campo hanging out with us today. Maddie Hayes, Big Leon Searcy, and RJ Saunders. It is XL Primetime, and you've got the Frangie Show coming up next.
Come on, Joe. That ain't good enough. You gotta suck the blood out of my mouth. Let's go, baby. Whoa!